have known the truth. Now, last week we went through this idea that John here in 2 John is directing this epistle, first of all, to the nation of Israel, and then to the individuals that make up that nation of Israel. And last week we went through and we compared some of the differences between John's ministry and Paul's ministry, and we've shown through the scripture how that John was to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, and Paul's ministry was to the Gentile first and then to the Jew. And so that being the case, it makes sense to say that John's writing would be first directed to the Jew, but that wouldn't limit that epistle here, right? It would be also directed to the Gentile, secondly, okay? And so there is a doctrine here for a Jew at a time when God will be dealing with the Jew. And there's a doctrine here for the church as well today, okay? And so now if you have, if you've been saved for any length of time and have sat under preaching, or sat under a preacher or teacher that believes the King James Bible, you will know that this word election or elect, it causes division amongst Christians. And it causes divisions amongst denominations as well. Okay? And so, why? Why does it cause this division? And, well, it's because this word and this doctrine of election is misunderstood. It's misunderstood. And so a person needs to study to show thyself approved unto God. And we're not just to blindly, folks, follow any teacher or preacher in our Christian lives and believe everything that comes out of their mouths. Okay? We're not to do that. We're to believe it only if your personal study, where you search the scripture, where I search the scriptures, where we verify that those things that is being taught and is being spoken to us is actually according to the words of God, right? And that is our duty. That's our duty as a Christian. Now today, in the era of the internet, it's real easy. It's real easy and super fast to verify things today, especially when you have a computer. And you have a computer in your hand now, right? We got the smartphones. And so you can even speak into the computers now. You don't even have to type anymore, right? I don't know, does anybody do that? I mean, I sometimes do that on the phone, and then it comes out all messed up. I think my English is broken. But you can speak these things into a computer now, and they'll do all the work for you as fast as you can speak them, right? And so it's real easy to speak a word and get pull up verses on a computer program that pull up every verse where that word is found in the Bible, right? And that's why, folks, it's important, especially today, right? Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word, right? That proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay, if you know a word, you don't even need to know a verse anymore. You just speak that into a computer and pull up the whole verse for you, and you can read it, right? And especially, you could do that in any Bible that's made, but I wouldn't suggest that because you might not get the verse that you need in some of these Bibles because the word's not there, right? And so I would use the King James Bible app if you have if you know how to use those computers and those applications. And for those that have time and they don't have the skilled computer skills, well, there's still the old fashioned concordance, right? We can do that with the concordance. And folks, I have a concordance, and do I use it too much anymore? No. But guess what happens if your battery goes dead? You run into the bookshelf, especially if you don't have a charger with you. And so electronics, they might fail. They might fail, and it's good to have the Bible in front of you, not on an app, where you can physically look at it and physically look this stuff up. Now, if the scriptures are not diligently searched and verified by each and every one of us, and as they are being taught, one may wind up believing some things that the Bible simply doesn't teach, folks, right? And especially about this thing called election in the Bible. And so, first off, when John addresses this lady in 2 John verse 1, he calls her elect. Now, what does elect or election mean, right? It means, according to the dictionary, the Noah Webster's dictionary, to prefer or to choose, to prefer, to determine in favor of. Okay? Now, in the Bible, this choosing is an election here is always by God. It's always by God. In some instances, this choosing is based upon the choices that are made by an individual man or being. And I say that because we're going to see a few things here who election is actually talking about in the Bible in a few minutes. And so now the reason it's important to have this understanding about election is because there are groups out there that teach and believe that God elects some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. Now think about that. If you elect only a certain few to go to heaven, then what have you done? All the rest, you've elected to go to hell. Okay? And so they teach that everybody is totally depraved. We've all heard of the tulip theory, right? And they teach that everybody is totally depraved and can never come to Jesus because of his depravity. And so you cannot even have a choice to come to Jesus because that is good, right? And because of your total depravity, you would never choose to do something that's good. That's the theory. That's their doctrine, folks. That's their doctrine. And therefore, God has to choose whether or not to give you eternal life because of your depravity. You can't choose that for yourself. And this choice is made by God upon those before the foundation of the world. That's what they believe and that's what they teach. And so, when we're born, we can't choose him because we're totally depraved. So he has to choose us before that birth and before all this depravity comes upon us, right? And so, now because he chooses us, we are his sheep. This is what they teach. We are his sheep. And Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. That's what they teach, right? Did he not lay down his life for his sheep? Yeah. And what they teach is that you became his sheep before the foundation of the world, so then Jesus Christ has to come and die for his sheep, the ones that are that he chose. And so there is a limited atonement, right? Only for those that God chose. And you have no decision in this. It's irresistible grace. Right? It's irresistible grace. And this is forced upon all the ones that God chose before the foundation of the world. Right? That's just what they're... I mean, if you read their 5 points of Calvinism, this is what they teach. And so it's forced upon all the ones he chose before the foundation of the world. And so if you're a beneficiary, right, of the first four... Then of Calvinism, then you are preserved because you're a saint and you can never lose your salvation because God did it all for you in the first place, right? And that's the 5 points of Calvinism in a nutshell. I mean, now they'll give a whole slew of different verses, folks, and you could look this stuff up online and see. If you didn't study your Bible and you didn't know all the things about election, boy... a new Christian, a new convert, could be easily deceived into believing this. Easily. Okay, and so for an unsaved man or a saved man, a scripture is given to back, this is their doctrines, right? Of Calvin, John Calvin. And that's why it's important to see and study and see if those things are so. Is what their doctrine is go against what the Bible says? Or is it, does it go with the Bible, with what the Bible says, right? And so when the Bible uses the word elect, it's always referring to somebody who's chosen by God from the foundation of the world unto eternal life. That's what they believe, right? And when elect appears in the Bible, does it always refer to members of the New Testament, the New Testament church? That's the question we have to ask ourselves, because this is what they believe. Every time election appears in their Bibles, they make reference to the New Testament Christian. That's what they do. And we need to ask this. Does it always refer to this? Now, somebody who believes in this doctrine of election, as we just explained, out of those 5 points of Calvinism, they'll apply this passage and that all the passages that bring up the term, they'll apply it to a New Testament Christian. Why? Because they fail, first of all, to rightly divide the scriptures. Now, when you think about this kind of this doctrine that I just explained out of their 5 points of Calvinism, right, the tulip doctrine. Right? Think about that for a minute. Okay? Don't you think that's a convenient doctrine? It's convenient. I mean, imagine all you have to do the rest of your life is to eat, drink, and be merry. Right? And you don't have to witness to anybody because God already chose the person before the foundation of the world that person was going to get saved. Right? And we don't have to do anything for God. Why? Because God decides everything for us. He decides what we're going to drink, what we're going to eat. Everything that comes in our way, He decided that for us, so we don't have to think about anything. And we don't have to talk to anybody about the Lord. We don't have to give the gospel out about Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ only died for His sheep, and His sheep were picked out way before they ever were born. Okay? And so that's a relaxing life that you can live, folks, if you have that doctrine as your belief. It's very relaxing. And if we're not mindful, I can't say worried, because we're not to be worried about anything, right? But if you're not mindful of these types of false doctrines, they will creep in to your life and mine. I mean, I find myself thinking about this stuff quite often, folks, especially when I don't do what I'm supposed to do, right? And they'll creep in, and we'll start making that excuse that it's up to God. Oh, God's in control, right? Folks, God gives man free will to do or to not to do. And so when we don't want to do or not to do, there's excuses come up. It's up to God anyway, right? And I'll tell you, folks, that's what's creeping into the churches. That's creeps into our lives. It creeps into our lives, and we need to be mindful. The truth is not that God elected some to go to hell and some to go to heaven. That's not the truth, folks. That's what Calvin taught. And the truth is that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, according to 2 Peter 3:9, slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Any should perish. That's anybody that comes into this world, folks. It doesn't say any that, except for the ones that He chose before the foundation of the world. It doesn't say that. But that all should come to repentance. Now, in the Bible, there are different classes of elect, different classes, folks, and groups, and the first class we're going to look at is found in 1 Timothy 5, and verse 20, The Bible says, them that sin, rebuke before all, that also that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Okay? And so these are God's elect angels, right? He's elected beings, which are called angels. These are created beings. Angels, being that that Jesus, whom Christ Jesus did not die for. He did not die for angels, folks. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for men. Right? He died for men that where judgment came upon due to the disobedience of Adam. Look, if you would, in Romans 5. Jesus didn't die for angels. Romans 5:18. Bible says there, let's see if I can get there. Oh God, that's when you need one of those apps. Get it quicker than that, you know. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Now, we know in the Bible that angels are referred to as men, but they're not men, folks. They're angels. They may appear as men, right? When they make an appearance, they may come out and look like a man, but they're angels. They're not men. They're not men. Okay? Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men. Everyone, folks, unto justification of life. Okay? Now look, if you would, in Philippians 2:8. Philippians 2:8. The Bible says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know what? Jesus Christ, he was the obedient one that allows that curse, the curse of death that passed on to Adam because of his disobedience. Jesus Christ, because of what his obedience and what he did all the way to the death of the cross, allows that curse to be lifted. Okay? And Jesus Christ was obedient unto death. Why? So all could be made righteous, as all were made unrighteous by the disobedience of one. All who? Men, not angels. Now here in 1 Timothy 5, these elect angels, they're named with Christ. And if I had to guess, folks, Lucifer and the angels that rebelled against God are not part of them. Okay? They're not part of them at this time. Here elects refers to a group called angels who I believe, chose not to rebel when Lucifer rebelled and a third of the angels fell. Okay, and God chose all the angels that he created for a specific task or ministry, and they were elect. And those who obeyed him are his elect at this time. And those that did not obey him aren't his elect anymore. They're not, folks. Okay, and folks, even an angel can choose whether he wants to be an elect of God or not. An angel can choose this. And so, if they so desire, elect in the Bible does not always refer to a New Testament Christian. And so, the Calvinist doctrine is flawed there. It's flawed there because they try to apply this to a New Testament Christian. And how do you do that? Well, you're either going to have to take angel out of the Bible, right? Or you have to leave it there. And I don't know if they do that or not, but they probably skip over it or something. But they do. They make all these passages apply to a New Testament Christian. And so a good way to approach the Scriptures is to have a mind that says, as the facts change, and the way that I perceived them at one time, right? So does my mind. So does my mind. And so if you got deceived into thinking that election only applied to Christians, New Testament Christians, well, the facts, and according to the way you perceived them, have changed. What are you going to do with the Bible, right? What are you going to do with the Bible? And so we don't want to make the Bible line up with our beliefs. That's not a Bible believer, folks. A Bible believer changes our beliefs to line up with the Bible. And so here we see that election in the Bible doesn't always refer to the New Testament Christian. Now look, if you would, in Isaiah. Now we went through a little bit about this last week when we were talking about this elect lady. Isaiah 45:3. The Bible says, And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of a secret place, and thou, or that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect. I have even called thee by name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. And so last week we went through some of these verses in the Bible referencing Israel as God's elect. Israel is God's chosen people. Remember what the definition of elect was. Somebody that is chosen for something, right? And so they're selected by God for a special service or special blessing. That's what an elect is, okay? And so, again, here, look if you would, in a couple pages over to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 9. The Bible says, and I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and my elect shall inherit it, and my servant shall dwell there. Okay? And so here is a race of people that come out of Jacob. They come out of Judah, which will make up the nation of Israel, which are chosen by God to inherit a piece of land. That's what they're chosen for. And because of this choosing, they are called elect. And so here again, elect has nothing to do with whom Jesus would die for, right? It has nothing to do whom Jesus would die for and who he wouldn't die for. It has nothing to do with it. God chose a race of people to give an inheritance to, and it's a piece of land. It's a piece of land in Palestine, and no other nation is going to get that piece of land. They're not going to get it. And try as they might, and try as they may, to exterminate the Jewish race. And they've been trying for how long? Since they've been chosen by God. They've been trying to exterminate that race of people, and they're never going to do it. Why? Because God holds true to his promises. He holds true to his promises. And he proved, he promised to give that nation, give a nation that he chose a piece of land, and he's going to do it, folks. He's going to do it. You're not going to make God not do it by trying to exterminate this people. And Romans 9 talks about how God chose a nation, the nation of Israel, and it's because that's what he wanted to do. That's what he wanted to do. He promised certain people certain things based upon what people did with what he said. That's how he chose these people. And those promises were passed on from Abraham to Isaac and Jacob, right? To Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob's name was changed to Israel, okay? And those children born into that nation had nothing to do with that election at all. They had nothing to do with it. God chose the nation of Israel, and the people that are in it are going to inherit that land, right? And that's in Romans 9:11. Now look, if you would, in Romans 11:25 here. And we may have to stop short on this idea here, but we see that there's a nation that is called God's elect. Romans 11:25. The Bible says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies." Whose enemies? Jewish people. The Jews, right? "For your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake." And so here you have Israel, verse 25, and here is a place where a people of a nation are enemies. They're enemies of the gospel, and yet because of the promises of God made to a nation, that nation is beloved because of the fact that God chose them. Now, does that mean that all Jews are going to be saved? It says, "For all Israel shall be saved." The nation will be saved. But that doesn't mean that all Jews are going to be saved. No, folks, if a Jew rejects Jesus Christ, they're going to die and go to hell. They're going to die and go to hell, just like everyone else. But that nation will survive. Why? Because not all Jews have rejected their Messiah. Right? All you need is one. Maybe two. Right? Maybe two. But there's more than one, folks. There's more than one. And during the tribulation, folks, we know by the prophecies that are written in this book that there's going to be a remnant of people that will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to believe on their Messiah, and they will make up the nation of Israel to receive the promises of God made to his elect. They're going to get it. They're going to get those promises. Again, you'll find that in Matthew 24, 20 to 22. Now, let's look here at Isaiah. We'll look at this other elect. Isaiah 42, and we all know what Isaiah 42 is talking, who he's talking about. "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect," right? And as you go down, you're going to see that this is a prophecy, and it's reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, chosen by God, right? Chosen by God to be the Savior of the world. And chosen by God to be on, to bestow on all those who will trust in him eternal life. Look, if you would, in Titus. Titus 1. Titus 1. Titus 1, verses 1. "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began." See? Jesus Christ is God's elect, folks. He's God's elect. And he's the one that was chosen before the foundation of the world. Not any of us. Right? Not any of us individually. Who's he talking about here? He's talking about somebody that has faith that will give you eternal life. Eternal life, right? And if you go to Galatians 2:20, Paul says, "I live by the faith of the Son of God." Okay? And that's what keeps you saved, folks. God's Son's faith keeps you saved. He's the one that gives you eternal life. Once you trust in him. And so there are certain promises made to those who believe in the chief cornerstone. Look, if you would, in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, verses 2, or chapter 2, verse 6. And I'm trying to hurry up. We've got to get through this here. "Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And watch this. and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. There's promises made to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of them is you're not going to be confounded. And another one is you getting into eternal life. And so Jesus Christ is God's elect. And so far, folks, we've seen that there are three classes that are called elect in the Bible, right? And really, they have really nothing to do with the New Testament Christian at this point. One has to do with an individual, Jesus Christ. One has to do with a nation. And one has to do with a created beings called angels, right? Now, there's another class. And that class is the ones that will make up the church, which is the body of Christ, as found in Ephesians 1, 21 to 23. They're the body of Christ. Okay? The church is the body. And they are God's elect. Why? Because if Christ is God's elect, folks, and I enter into Christ by belief and trust in Jesus Christ, and he is eternal life, and he gives me eternal life, what do I become? Think about that. What do you become if you're in Christ and the church is his body? You become elect. You become elect. And not only that, but you become elect before the foundation of the world. Why? Because you have eternal life. And eternal goes all the way back and all the way forward. Goes all the way back and all the way forward. And so before the foundation of the world, there's a lamb that was slain. The Bible says before the foundation of the world. And that, folks, is God's elect. That is God's elect, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world, and he is eternal life. And only when you get into that lamb are you elect in God's eyes, folks. And those are the four doctrine that is found concerning elect. Doctrine about angels. There's a doctrine about the nation of Israel. There's a doctrine about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's the doctrine about Bible or believing. Those who believe in Jesus Christ are in Christ, which become elect. And I hope you've received Jesus Christ you become elect, folks. You become elect. And you don't want to get into this idiot theology and believe some idiot theology. And I hope those that have, maybe they hear the message, right? They got to hear the message. They got to believe it. And they can get right, repent with the Lord and get that right. And we'll go ahead and pray there. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And we thank you for the study on this election. And we're so grateful, Lord, that you can map that out plainly in the Bible for those who will search it out and study, Lord. And we pray that we would just continue to do that and get these things right and get our beliefs right according to the Word of God, your words. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Thank you.